So, Father, we thank you for what you've deposited in this man. I thank you for the message that you are about to bring. So, Father, I pray for him, and I also pray for us, the soil of our hearts, that it would be prepared to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I have a fun housekeeping, which I'll probably have to do it when everybody comes back from all their places, because there'll be more people here normally, but we have an opportunity for serving in our church that we need help, and it's with the wonderful children's ministry. We need one extra person to take a spot for, I think it's 5 weeks. Right, Esther? The fourth week? Okay, fourth week of every month, taking a spot to do the children's ministry. And we have a curriculum. We have everything you need to be very successful in leading those kids. And it's amazing. It's awesome. And it's just one of those things that it's like, this is an awesome thing that we have an opportunity for. So if you would like to serve, please see Esther after church. And then we, as those of you have known and see, we have babies being born, which is so awesome. And so we're going to start up a nursery also too. So we'll need more people that will be willing to take care of baby nursery, because we're going to have three babies back there, which is so fun. So I just want to really encourage you. It's an awesome opportunity to pray over children and really just bless them and bless the mamas. I do want to say that there are mamas, the mamas are serving, both Esther and Lucy are both our children's workers too. So it's not like, oh, they get a break. You know, they're serving too. So I just want to encourage that we need more than just even the mamas, you know. So if you guys could volunteer for that, that would be awesome. So
pray for Tracy. She's ministering.
Okay, let's pray for Tracy right now. She's ministering in another church. We're excited about that. Well, Lord, we just thank you for Tracy right now. We thank you for what you are wanting to release, the river of God that you're wanting to release through her this morning. And so we just ask you right now that you would bless her, that you would anoint her lips, anoint her words, that they would go forth with power and anointing. Lord, that you would just let your spirit fall in that place. Lord, and that there would be signs and wonders and miracles that would break loose as she just really serves and gives forth what you've given her. Just right now, we just ask you that she would just be so aware of you in and through her and what you're wanting to say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys all right?
Yeah.
All right. Breaking news, the sun is still in the sky. But I promise, it's still up there.
Somewhere.
I think it's going to come out tomorrow. So, it's good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Man, it's rough on a rainy. It's rainy. You just feel like... Did you guys know that the Bible says that before you were ever born, think about this for a second. Before you were ever born, He had all your days planned out. Before you were even a seed in your mother's womb, He had you in mind, and He had all your days planned out. Now, how many people struggle with worry or stress from time to time? Be honest. All right, there's about 5 honest people in the room. Well, there's only 10 of us, so that's about 50%. Honestly. All right. Of that, those of us, how many times is that based around some plan or your future or something working out? Pretty often, right? But the Word of God says that before you were ever born, God had all your days planned out. So what that means to me is, okay, well then I just need to get in on what that plan is, right? What's your plan, God? Some days that's easier than others to figure out. But Romans 12 that I read again last week about the renewed mind. The thing about the renewed mind, the mind of Christ, is so that you will know what the perfect, pleasing will of God is for your life. Amen? Go back and review those seven things. I'm not going to do it this morning. You probably have them written down. Or you can listen online to those in the past if you want to. Because I'm moving on to what I feel like is for today. And I didn't have that little intro there. That was a free commercial break right there. I don't know who that was for. But somebody needed to hear it this morning. Maybe it was me. I don't know. I'm doing good, though. I didn't feel particularly worried or stressed or anything coming in, but I just felt like, just before I got up here, I felt like the Holy Spirit says, say this. I want you to say this. We need this morning. Amen. It's really freedom, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, not only does God have a plan, but He has, ultimately, He is sovereign over us, over all creation. It's just awesome. I love that thought. Anyway. Couple testimonies. So last week, man, that was a surprise last week. Tracy brought the anointing oil and we had a rip-roaring time. Just a great time. If you weren't here, I'll anoint you after church. But she brought this anointing oil that was from A.A. Allen's ministry. Now, if you don't know who that is, A.A. Allen was a powerful man of God, had a powerful healing anointing, somewhat unusual. He passed away in 1970. Some folks carried on his ministry. Somehow Todd Bentley, an evangelist, got a hold of this oil and gave it to this lady that Tracy used to travel with for like 8 years. If you want to know more, ask Ken. He can probably fill you in on the details. And so she got this oil from her last week or whatever, and she felt like God said, I want you to anoint Matthew with it. And then, you know, so we had this great time. And I want to give you two testimonies right here in our church and one outside of our church that I believe, well, definitely in our church, they're a direct result of what God was doing. First of all, Vicky and Gary, we just had a great time of prayer. You know, they've been trying to sell this house in Tennessee. And afterwards, we were mulling. I was like, all right, give me your hands. Let's just agree right now. And sometimes you just kind of do that in faith. They're like, it's the Christian thing to do. You know, like, oh, bear your brother's burdens, you know. And so he's just like, well, can we pray together? You know, it's just kind of this real. And that's okay. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But that time I felt something like, wait, there's something on this. And because you guys, if you can come up and share the story if you want to, but you had been trying to sell your house and they had it a buyer, but then it fell through, right? Am I getting that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so you were believing God, nothing was really happening, but then we prayed, the power of agreement. And then you posted on Facebook to be praying and there was something on the horizon. And then I was like, wow, the power of agreement. And then you said back, yeah, the realtor actually got not one, but two offers. Right. And then while that was happening, he got a call with a better offer. And the realtor was shocked. I don't even know how this is happening because nothing's been happening. The weather's been bad, that kind of thing. Is
yeah,
that right?
God.
All right, tell us the rest.
So anyway, they originally went for a low number, and then they changed their mind, and they went to the actual number that we offered. We asked for. So
they changed their mind.
House, so I don't want to get out of the name of it, but it was just such a blessing, and it's not an FHA. So that's an absolute miracle.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm just praying that everything, there's no snags.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Come on. So, you know, I think we should give the Lord like a hand clap, a shout, like, come on! One other thing.
The other day, I was singing, I was in the car, and I was singing, and that song, where you put your, I put my something on you, you know, whatever it was. My trust in you, that's what it was.
Yeah.
The song, it goes over and over. And I get, when I'm singing, I said, okay, I put my house on you. My house on you.
Sure.
And I just kept singing that and singing that and singing that.
Yeah.
And I believe that was
great for
also part of the
yes.
testimony as well.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
So when we were singing that second song about protector, provider. I think Liz was leading that. You know what I'm talking about? I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. You are my protector. You are my provider. It's like if you've ever been in a situation like that, man, you just feel so out there. You know, and all these doubts and fears start creeping in. But we need March 28th. Is that when it's supposed to close? So let's just continue to agree right now. How many people believe in the power of agreement? Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree right now for a successful close on this house. We pray, God, that you would bring this close to the table and you would bring it to a completion for your glory. And it's a testimony of the faithfulness of our Father. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so they were going to do a low ball and then they decided to do the... They changed their mind. Give more money. That's awesome. But Lord, we pray they're blessed. This house is a blessing to them. So then, so last Sunday, after we had that time, remember how I shared that testimony, that encounter that I had with this like burning in the palms of my hands? And then I had it that morning, last Sunday morning again, because that was like 4 years ago. So then this girl that named Kristen, who had come to our church, she goes to another church, but she came to our women's retreat. Some of you ladies may remember her, but she's really good friends with Deanna, and they had been at some worship gathering on Sunday night, and all of a sudden she was receiving prayer for the serious lung illness, some lung thing that she's got going on. She was receiving prayer and ministry for God to heal her lungs. And all of a sudden, she began to have this burning in the palms of her hands. And so Deanna told her like about what I had shared on Sunday. And then I started praying for her through Facebook Messenger. And like the Lord, she started getting healed. The Lord started touching and ministering to her. You know, it was just an awesome time. And I was like, because, you know, that was a big part of what God was doing last week was healing. So I'm just like, okay, Lord, I'm expecting that you're going to do great things. Have you found that lady in the dream yet? Yeah. All right, that's okay. Donna had this dream about this lady and this really vivid encounter and healing. And, you know, God's up to something. But I realized that a lot of what God wants to do depends on what we see that he wants to use us for. Because when we get a case of the little old me's and like, oh, I can never really, I don't know enough, I'm not anointed enough, I can't do enough, you know, all that, it holds us back. But what faith does, his faith, is it releases hope, trust, and boldness in us to step out in what only God can do anyway. Amen?
Yeah.
Anyway, then I didn't even realize, somehow I was telling Eva, this was off my radar, but there was this major gathering in Orlando, Florida yesterday called the Send. Did anybody see that? Okay, yeah, a couple people. And so you remember the Carry the Love tour that was here? And dozens of students got saved on campus and stuff just back in January. So YWAM Circuit Riders teamed up with Lou Engle. That's a team. And did this event. And so like that Carry the Love, all those folks, they were there. And Lou Engle and like the who's who from Benny Hinn to Reinhard Bonnke's guy, Daniel Kalinda or whatever his name is, and Todd White and Bill Johnson, Rodney Howard Brown. They were all at this event and Heidi Baker. Yeah, the list goes on a long ways, but there was like 60,000 people or something like that. I don't know what the numbers are in Orlando in the football stadium. And there was just a sense like the glory of the Lord was filling our house. I mean, Sarah was laughing and then crying and then, you know, on the floor and then, you know, taking care of a kid issue. You know, like real life slaps you in the face and you're trying to take care of everything. But, I mean, there were times where I feel like we're in the stadium. Like, this is a significant time, you know. And, I mean, let me just give you a couple numbers here. During that this weekend in Orlando alone, they had teams that canvassed the city to share the gospel, and they saw 600 people saved on the streets of Orlando. 600. and 800 documented healings. Just like day before yesterday, I guess. Because everybody, I'm pretty sure, was at the event yesterday. So this had to have been like on Friday. You know, I just realized. So here's the thing that stuck out to me about this. Because I've been to events like that. I've seen a lot of events like that. Maybe some of you old timers have seen so many events like that, that there's a little bit of like jadedness. Okay, right. Like the next great awakening, the next this, the next that. I understand that. I've had to battle through that myself. But here's what happened for me. The other day I was just spending time with the Lord. And he said to me, and I didn't know, again, that the sin was even happening, this event yesterday. I had no idea. He said, we, the church, are at the end of a 30-year wave. I may have shared this last week. We're at the end of about a 30-year wave of his Spirit. What God did and has done was awesome. And we have been bearing the fruit of it. We continue to build upon it. However, he said, I'm about to do a new thing. And I was reminded of an old favorite, Isaiah 43:19. Put that up on the screen there so you guys can see it. Because Byron says, you guys all know this. But I don't know how many times he said that. And I looked at the scripture like, I don't know if I've ever seen that scripture before. But anyway, so I don't want to presume anything. But this is a common scripture, but it's really powerful, especially in the context of a now word of what God's saying. Is that on there, Holly? Isaiah 43:19. Throw that up there. It says this. See, or in another translation, it says, listen carefully. Listen carefully. See, I am doing a new thing. Exclamation point. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Question mark. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. How many people know that we need a way in the wilderness? We need streams in a wasteland. All right. Are y'all okay? Yeah. All right. So I want to get back to good old Jacob. Remember, Jacob's grandfather was Abraham, the guy that the promise all started with in Genesis. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, who was the heir of the promise. And Isaac had a son named Jacob that we're talking about. If you want to read it for yourself, it's in Genesis chapters 28 through 35. You can go back on your own time and read Genesis 28 through 35 and get a pretty good picture of this guy. But this guy, Jacob, he had five major, he might have had more than this, but five recorded encounters with God that changed his life. It changed the course of everything that he did. It changed the course, first of all, of everything that he was. His identity was transformed by these encounters. So I want to look at these last week. Remember this? The first three. And because of Joshua Timberlake egging me on, I only made it through three. I talked so long, I had to end it at three. We'll finish the last two. Really, we'll do number four today. And maybe just touch on five because Leah's here. Everybody say, hey, Leah.
Hey, Leah.
Hey, guys. Yeah. Leah's one of my favorites. By the way, it's Liam's birthday today. Liam Forrester. Right, Holly? Liam's birthday? Oh, it was yesterday. Well, that's close enough. So he's not in here right now, but give him a word after church. Bless him. Hug him. Give him a prophetic word that changes his life. Okay, that'd be awesome, right? His parents would appreciate that. So he's a great guy, man. I love Liam. What a great heart he has. You know, really a heart after the Lord. It's awesome. So five ways that encounters will change your life. Put that slide up here, okay? Let's just go through these if you're taking notes. Thanks, Mom. Makes every preacher feel good. Five ways that encounters will change your life. The first three are a review. Number one, this is what his first encounter with the open heaven. Remember, he saw a ladder and the angels ascending and descending. Through encounters, God has given you, punch your neighbor and say you. He's given you, every single one of us, gateways for access into the heavenly realm. Gateways for access into the heavenly realm. Usually it's kind of like the spiritual location of one of your first encounters with God. Like the way he first spoke to you, right? Does anybody remember that? Okay, I do. I'm one person in the room. Two people. All right. The way us two, we remember how God, we first encountered him. I'll never forget. Okay, I'm not going to preach on that because I've already done it. All right, number two, let's go to that one. Through encounters, God has given you spiritual territories. Through encounters, God has given you land in his kingdom. I'm not talking about physical land necessarily. It could be that. I'm talking about spiritual territory. The example I used last week was in the realm of healing for me personally. He's given me a realm, a land of certain gifts of healing that I can walk into anytime because that's what God's given me to do, right? It may be, it's different for everybody. And it's something that God continues to increase. Because I believe our God, he's a father of increase, not decrease. Amen. Like he only wants to give you more. Because remember, we're inheriting these same promises that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That, hey, as far as your eye can see, as far as almost like you can ask, think, or imagine, even beyond that, that's what I'm giving you. So it's only increase, increase, increase. Through encounters with God. Through encounters with God. We have gateways. We got saved. We got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Through encounters, we came into heavenly visitations. We saw things. We realized. We shifted our mindsets. Did anybody have like a really stubborn heart or like a really kind of difficult mind before you met Christ? Like you just, maybe you're an atheist or you just had a really hard time, right? But through an encounter with Jesus, all of a sudden, it's like you start thinking all differently. Like, what is that? This is what happened for Jacob too. Like, we saw in that one passage that at first, he wasn't even sure whether he would continue to serve the God of his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. He wasn't sure, but he had his own encounters. That's number two. Number three, through encounters, God has given you identity. You know who you are. Why? Because you know whose you are. You are your daddy's. You're your daddy's child, right? You're your father's son, your father's daughter. At the place of your greatest struggle, the Lord has given you the greatest blessing. The place of your greatest struggle, maybe he hasn't yet even, God's going to give you your greatest blessing. Remember, Jacob's name meant what? Deceiver or liar. He commonly did both of those. And then he was treated the same way. Deceived by Laban. Lied to, I mean, just all kinds of things. It's like pattern in his life. Has anybody ever seen that? Just a pattern. It's like it repeats in family lines. Some people refer to it as generational curses or whatever. Familiar spirits, sometimes that's referred to. It's like this is what was following. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is basically like who you are. But then what happened? God came and said, you're no longer deceiver, but I call you Israel, which means God fights. God fights for you. Remember that? He had that wrestling match that he couldn't win with Jesus. It doesn't say that overtly, but I think it was Jesus, like the pre-incarnate Jesus. Can you imagine wrestling Jesus? It's just not fair, man. It's not fair. Who can wrestle God and live, you know? Number four, let's do four and five real quick, and then I'm going to really hit on four. Through encounters, God continually reminds you of who you are and his covenant promises with you. Remember covenant? Remember how God was speaking to us about covenant and Jeff brought that message about the blood and Byron talked about covenant. I gave a message on covenant. Like covenant promises. The way I like to think of it is when God makes you a promise, you can take it to the bank. I mean, it's as good as done. If you, like Abraham, you just believe. If you'll just grab a hold of that, God is faithful. And number five is this. Through encounters, God reminds you of his abiding presence. Amen. God reminds you of his abiding presence. I want to touch on number four for a few minutes here and turn or click to Genesis 35. Genesis 35, 1 through 15 is going to be our text this morning. And I want to just kind of unpack this, if you will. Just kind of break it down and share some things that I feel like the Lord was sharing with me about it. And then I'm going to ask our musicians to come back up. And we're going to take some time just to have some continual encounters with the Lord. Does that sound good to anybody? I mean, besides the angels, there's plenty of space in here. You know, so if you kind of nudge the angels out of the way, you can lie down on the chairs, you know, whatever you want to do. You can take up some floor space if you have like heavenly pillows, you know. But we're just going to have a time to just let the Lord continue to encounter us. Here's what it says in this passage of Genesis 35. All right. Then God said to Jacob, get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Anybody ever heard those words? Get ready and move. Just shared. The Keiths heard that recently. Mom, you ever heard that word, get ready and move? Yeah, long time ago when you were coming to North Carolina, a place they'd never been to before. They grew up born and raised in Jackson, Missouri. Go to North Carolina, that godforsaken land. No, that's not what they said. People did say that to us about moving from Mooresville to Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill, do you know about that place? That's what he says. Kind of like what he said to Jacob. Get ready. Not really. It wasn't a godforsaken place. Actually, he had an encounter, his first encounter. Move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. You know, sometimes God brings you back to where everything started. Because like I said, God finishes the things he started. Did you know that? He's faithful. He's going to finish what he started in your life. Maybe there's people sitting here that 20 years ago, God started something with you, or 20 minutes ago. Whatever the case is, he started something with you and somewhere in the last 20 minutes, hopefully not, in the last 20 years, the last 10 years, whatever the time is, there's been these seeds of wonder and doubt. There's been this questioning and like, but God, could that really be you? But God, what if, you know, and you think back through the decisions and you think back and you wonder if you blew it somewhere. Here's what I learned about God. God is sovereign and completely in control. But when I mess up plan A, guess what? There's a plan B. And when something happens to derail plan B, God's got a plan C. He's got a plan D, E, F, all the way to Z. Go back through to double Z. That's how sovereign God is. I mean, what else does it mean when he says, I can use all things? Everybody say all things. You know what that means in the Greek? Yeah, it means all. It means everything. I can use all things, good, bad, and the ugly, and turn it for your good. Turn it for your good. Turn it around, and actually, it's a place of blessing and strength for you. This is what I was saying that was on that slide. The place of your greatest struggle, God can use to become your greatest blessing. What? It happened in Jacob's grandson's life, son's life, Joseph, didn't it? The place of his greatest struggle. I mean, Joseph sort of inherited his dad's deceitfulness and kind of arrogance. Like bragging to his brothers, you know, hey, you guys are going to bow down and worship me. You know, as a young man anyway, he's sort of a little bit conniving in that way. You can kind of read in the text. You can kind of feel that. But God used that. He redeemed that. And that place of his greatest struggle, that kind of hard sort of, I don't know, Joseph was always a leader. You know what I'm saying? But as the youngest brother, the older brothers never want to hear it from the youngest brother, right? But then when God gets him to the place to be second in command, he's got confidence in the Lord and who God has made him to be to actually rule. It's two different things. To be put in a place to rule and to actually rule. You know, you can get the title all you want, but as I think John Maxwell says, if you got a title and nobody's following you, you're just taking a walk in the park. You know, you're not actually leading anybody. Sometimes God brings you back to where everything started, in this case, Bethel for Jacob, because God finishes the things he started. Remember this in chapter 25? God made a vow. I don't have it on the screen, but listen to this. This was literally in the text in chapter 25. Jacob made this vow. And listen to the kind of like doubt. If God will indeed, these are his words, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. So in chapter 35, sure enough, he's back here. God has finished what he started, in a sense. He's back in Bethel. And Jacob made a vow and built a pillar in chapter 25. But God finished it and told him to return and make that pillar an altar. Now, let me tell you, there's a big difference between a pillar and an altar. There's a big difference. You know what the difference is? A pillar is something that you remember fondly. Boy, that was really nice. I remember when God healed me. Or, hey, you remember about 25 years ago when we were broke and God sovereignly provided for us? Hey, you remember, and you know, all those things. Like maybe your parents tell you a story. Or maybe you can think back to 5 years ago when you were in this really bad place. Or, you know, like my story, when you were on the verge of schizophrenia and Jesus touches you and saved, healed. Boy, that was really nice. But you know what? God doesn't just intend for there to be a pillar, a remembrance. He intends for there to be a place of worship. Because every time, sometimes when I'm up here like beanpole hopping around, you know, really can't dance in the natural, but I don't care anyway, because one of the things, sometimes what causes me to feel that way and to react that way physically and spiritually is remembrance of like where I was 25 years ago or whatever that was when God healed me of mental illness. You know, I remember what God did in bringing us to chapter. I remember how God touched Judah one time and healed him in Lakeland Outpouring. You know, I remember these things. And what's my expression? What's my reaction? I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Have you ever just wanted to fall down on your face? Just get on your knees. I don't care who's looking. It ain't for you anyway. Just go all out in worshiping God. Why? Because your pillar became an altar. This is what God has called us to. So Jacob told everyone in his household, this is continuing on in the story, get rid of all your pagan idols. Purify yourselves and put on clean clothing. We are now going to Bethel. What's he saying? We're going to worship. We're going to worship. Get ready. We're going before the most holy God, the God of all gods, the King of all kings. We're going to bow down. We're going to give him our everything. Purify yourselves. Do you not remember our dad and our granddad? Throw out that other crap. Get rid of that. We're going to Bethel, baby. It's going to be awesome. Where I will build an altar to God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone. How many in this room have that testimony? He has been with me wherever I have gone. Jacob was telling that to his kids and his grandkids and maybe his great grandbabies. I'm not sure. I think he's an older man at this point. He's saying to the whole clan, listen, guys, get rid of all that filth. Don't bring the gods and goddesses of the Canaanites. We're going to Bethel. This is a holy place. He certainly recounted when he saw the ladder and he saw the angels. He certainly told them the story about wrestling with this man, with this being. Maybe he had no idea what this being was, but he knew it was God. He knew it was from God's presence. Perhaps he recounted the stories from his father, Isaac, and then his granddad, Abraham. Can you imagine being in that room, like around that campfire, like eating that matzah, like whatever it is, you know? They're serving the choicest of wine, and they're having a really great banquet to say, listen, get rid of all this stuff, because he's a holy God. And then he goes on and says here, so they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem. God has always required holiness in his presence, hasn't he? In Exodus and Leviticus, he says to the people, be holy just as I am holy. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit repeats in Hebrews 12, put that up there, Holly. Hebrews 12, 14, it says this, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. You see that? Yeah. Hebrews 12, yeah, there it is. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Why? Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. It's in the New Covenant. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let's read the next verse. Verse 15 is of utmost importance. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Everybody say grace of God. Grace. See to it that you don't fall short. And by the way, let no bitter root grow up to cause trouble and defile many. Under the old covenant, it was up to them to offer the sacrifices. Jeff told us a lot about that. A lot of blood, a lot of animals gave their lives, right? The perfect spotless lamb. You've got, if you can't afford that, you got either pigeons or doves that you can cut, and they got to do all this stuff. And we've been reading through Leviticus in our life link. God help us. You know, it's like Leviticus. Man, I'm good with Genesis, Exodus. And then you get to Leviticus and it's just like, can we skip ahead? Like, what is this? But actually, no, there's some really good stuff coming out. And I love having conversation about it and what other people are getting. But it's like, oh, man. And if you read that in Hebrews, you can mistakenly think, oh, I know what I need to do. Dadgummit, I blew it. I yelled at my wife again. God. You said, be holy. I'm not going to see the Lord, but I want to see God, but I've got anger issues. And God's saying, yeah, but Matthew, guess what? My blood has already made you clean. What? Yeah, my blood. Do you remember the good news? The gospel is of the New Testament that he provides through the indwelling Spirit of God that lives in you. The same Spirit that lived a sinless life in Jesus now lives in you. Hello. This should be good news to all of us. This is what I call good news for Christians. You guys are studying it on Wednesday night. It's that the Ten Commandments weren't made for you. The do-betters were not made for you. The checklist Christianity, as he calls it, is not made for you. That's not the mechanism of holiness. Hello? The mechanism of holiness is called the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? In other words, he becomes holy in place of you. Then what we do is we just allow him in. We just, as Bill Johnson says, pretend like there's a dove sitting on your shoulder and you want to walk in such a way that he never flies away. like hosting the presence of God, when you'd experience the beauty of that, the joy of that, the fun of that. Hello, teenagers. They're not in here right now. You know, I just remember as a teenager, you know, you just want to have fun and you got all these things. And it's like, but the fun, the most fun thing that you can do is host the presence of God. There's joy unspeakable. There's pleasures evermore. Isn't that true? Lord, help me. So first of all, notice the link between holiness and grace in Hebrews. Secondly, notice the connection between holiness and worship in the text. He says, we're going to worship. Now purify yourselves. Today, this is something he's already done. Now offer up your sacrifice of praise and worship. It's not about how you feel or how well you have behaved. It's about the sacrifice he's already paid. Hey. She's so cute. It's about the sacrifice he's already paid. I mean, honestly, what God has paid for us is almost scandalous. It's outrageous to me. In fact, I woke up this morning, I don't know why, just feeling a little like, maybe it's the weather, just a little blue, you know, a little doldrums. Just kind of like sat down at 6 with my coffee. Okay, maybe 2 cups of coffee will get me out of this, you know. And I just said to the Lord, you know, does anybody ever start having like casual conversations with Jesus? That's actually one of my favorite types of prayer. I'm not talking about you're not praying for anybody. You're not in an intense intercession. You're not doing warfare. You're just like, yeah, what's up, Lord? You know, and you're just kind of casually talking. I'm like, you know, God, this guy's kind of funny, us humans. You know, just kind of laughing at myself. Like, it's just funny how fickle we are and like how driven by our feelings. Right. Like, God, I don't feel holy right now. He's like, that's okay. I never asked you to feel holy. It doesn't say get ready to worship and feel holy. It says be holy. He said, Matthew, you can't change what you are. You are holy. I've put my holiness and my righteousness, I stamped it on your forehead and made you to be the righteousness of Christ. Wow. That's amazing. Come on. Lydia and I were at the Carolina basketball game yesterday. Hallelujah. We won. It's a great game. And she had never been to a game. And we had the most fun time, you know, and she's like taking in all the sights and sounds, and like up on the big screen, you know, there's this huge student section over next to us, and there's like this whole row of UNC students painted blue, you know, from head to toe, their whole bodies. I'm like, come on, Jesus, paint me in your glory. That's what he's done with his holiness, is he's painted you. He's clothed you in robes of righteousness. Think about that. So that makes me want to act like those students when it comes to praise and worship. Like, come on, God, you've already painted me in your righteousness and your holiness. How much better can it be? Yeah. It's better than any sporting event. And I love that. But God's faithfulness to us is beyond compare. Let me finish the passage. As they set out, a terror from God spread over the people and all the towns of that area, so no one attacked Jacob's family. I don't have time, but there's a whole story behind why that is. God helped them. He protected them. Eventually, Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, also called Bethel in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, which means God of Bethel. Bethel means house of God. So it's like the God of the house of God. It's like, I don't even know what that is, honestly. I'm just saying, I feel like here's what I feel like is in Jacob's heart. He's like, oh my gosh, this is even better than I have ever imagined. He got there, they're building the altar, they come with the family purified and they come to worship, and he's like, man, I can't even call this place Bethel. I got to call it El Bethel. This place is incredible. like God is in this place. Because God had appeared to him there when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. So remember, his life was in jeopardy. He's like, oh, shoot, Esau's going to kill me and get his revenge, finally. And then he did it, and God saved him, and then he wrestled with that being, with Jesus or whatever. And, you know, and so his heart is just poised for worship. And then in the middle of it all, tragedy strikes. And Rebecca's old nurse, Deborah, died. And she was buried beneath the oak tree in the valley below Bethel. Ever since, the tree's been called, I can't pronounce that, Oak of Weeping. You know, don't you love how real the Bible is? I love how in the middle of even glory moments like this, like somebody dies. There's weeping and there's mourning. And, you know, it's just such a beautiful picture of real humanity. So remember, an altar is more than just a memorial stone. Often a place of remembrance becomes a place of worship. And remembering enables true worship from the heart. I was remembering last week, this building even in general. Of course, it's a house of worship. It's a church building. But when I remember how God, through Chris Ann's wedding that Eva and Sarah went to lead worship at, and then they connected with this pastor in Durham who had started a church in a Seventh-day Adventist church, and then they're talking at the rehearsal or whatever about church planning. She's like, yeah, we're renting this building over here on Sunday night because it's the only thing we could find. God's in it. We're blessed. Eventually, we like to move to Sunday morning. And then his response is, oh, you know, there's another Seventh-day Adventist congregation building a building right now in Chapel Hill. Here's their card. Why don't you check in with them? She comes home. Oh, well, maybe we should. You know the story. We drive up out here. The parking lot's not even paved yet, but they're at the end of a 7-year building project. That's how long it's taken them with city bureaucracy and finances and all that. And we drive up, and literally 3 months later, we have our first Sunday. I mean, I talked to my church planner friends in town and kind of like apologize. Seriously, like I feel kind of bad because I've heard their stories. And this doesn't just happen for church planners. It just doesn't happen. Like, best case scenario, you find a good spot and you get a team of more people than are sitting in here to set it up and break it down every single Sunday until everybody wants to run screaming because you're so tired you can't do it anymore. Anybody ever been there? This is a Bethel. This is not just a church and a house of worship, technically, physically. This is a pretty awesome thing that we have.
Yeah.
Like, we get to come in here every Sunday and say, God is in this place. God brought us here. God gave us something. And he's making a name in Chapel Hill. Now that Jake, back to the text, I got to be disciplined here. Oh, is it really 7 minutes to 12? I was going to try to finish early tea and like have this time of soaking. Oh, well. God's in this though, right? Is everybody okay? All right, just checking. If you don't know Byron, he asked that about 3 times per sermon. He's like, y'all are just looking at me. And I'm thinking, well, what would you want me to do? I cannot look at you. You want me to just like look at my phone the whole time? You know? If you're listening, Byron, we love you. Thank you. They're celebrating 25 years this year at River Life Pastors. Now that Jacob had returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again at Bethel. God blessed him, saying, your name is Jacob. Deceiver, but you will not be called deceiver any longer. From now on, your name will be called Israel. God fights for us, or God fights for you. So God renamed him Israel. Now remember, this had already happened. He's reminding him of this. He's saying it to him again in another encounter. Have you ever had an encounter with God where he reminded you of something that you received from him in a previous encounter? I'm glad you have. Then God said, I am El Shaddai. What does that mean? God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. That's a word, multiply. Can we just agree that God's going to multiply this year?
Amen.
All right, let's just agree. Grab a hand of the person next to you. God, we just thank you. We see that you said, be fruitful and multiply. So God, just as families, young families in this church are multiplying, like that one that just walked through the door, we thank you that you will multiply what you've given us here in our Bethel.
Yeah.
And we just declare it and we agree with heaven right now that you will multiply us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You'll become a great nation. Even many nations, kings will be among your descendants. I will give you the land I once gave to Abraham and Isaac. Yes, I will give it to you and your descendants after you. Then God went up from the place where he had spoken to Jacob. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him. Then he poured wine, the fruit of the vine, the blood of Jesus, right? He poured wine over it as an offering to God. Isn't that something? Before the cross, it was like almost a picture of communion or a first fruits, the fruit of the vine. He poured it over there and then did what? Anointed the pillar with oil. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The sacrifice, the blood, the first fruits, lamb, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is the place of worship, right? This is the place of worship where we rejoice, we praise. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has paid the price. And we receive an endowment of power like at Pentecost from on high with an anointing of the oil, with an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jacob named the place Bethel, which means house of God, because God had spoken to him there. Where and what has God spoken to you? Where and what has God spoken to you? Think about that. Journal about it this week. Write video, not video, you can't video. Audio record it on your device. Hey Siri, remind me to remember what God's spoken to me and reflect on it this week. She didn't actually do that because I have something else running. Whatever it is, what has God spoken to you? Where did God speak to you? What was surrounding that? Think about that. Reflect on that because it's important for the season that we're in.
Yeah.
So what we learn through all this that we've read is through encounters, God reaffirms your identity over and over and over and over again. If I didn't have that, like if I didn't have a loving Father, our Heavenly Father, who like on a morning like this morning when I'm feeling a little down or whatever it is, I felt getting up on the wrong side of the bed. Got to go preach today. You sit down. If I didn't have a father to just bring me into alignment, like, listen, son. You know, I share with you what he said to me about holiness and the garments. And all. If I didn't have that, where would I be? Like, where would I be? That's what encounters are. See, here's the thing. Let's demystify encounters. I'm not talking about like encounters of the third kind. Wee, wee. Like back in the 70s, like there was this whole like, you know, these alien encounters and abductions. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about like the greatest story you've ever heard from one of the great men and women of faith about how they were sucked up into the third heaven and they toured the earth and they preached the gospel in China and they, yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I want that. But you know what? What God said to me this morning, that's an encounter with God. That's an encounter with God as much as anything. And so don't fall into the comparison trap. Don't think, well, that never happens to me. Oh, you know, like the Eeyore Christianity. What would it mean? I don't know. You know, just kind of mulling around. I've never seen an angel. I don't have that. Whatever it is. Like, set that aside. Like, have you ever felt God? Yeah. Like, has God ever spoken to you? Well, I mean, yeah. has God ever spoken to you? Like, in whatever way. I don't mean audibly. Like, have you ever felt like, have you ever read a scripture and it was, yeah. Well, has a friend ever given you a, yeah. Well, have you ever heard like the still, yeah. Okay, come on now. Encounters. These are all encounters with God. The still small voice can make more difference in a life than like 20 angels appearing in your bedroom. Through encounters, God continually reminds you and reinforces his covenant promises that he has made with you. Through encounters. Finally, it's 12 o'clock. Finally, as an old man, after many heartbreaks and many losses, I remind you, Jacob had a big family. It was a clan of like 60. He had 12 sons. He had daughters. And then terrible things happen, in case you think this is all glorious. His 11 older sons, he had a wife named Rachel that had Joseph, and he was a boy that he dearly loved. I spoke of him earlier. And he was the youngest, or second to youngest. Yeah, he was the second. Yeah, Benjamin was the youngest. Anyway, he was towards the end. And so the 10 older brothers took him, and they wanted to kill him. And one of the guys said, I'll tell you what, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him to these slave traders. And so that's what they did. You know the story. He gets sold. He gets betrayed. All this stuff happens. Well, Jacob is heartbroken. I talked with a friend of mine who's going through a terrible situation right now in a family. And this person was just weeping on the phone with me this week. And it had to do with some terrible, terrible circumstances in the family. And I heard in that person's voice something I've never heard before. That deep sorrow. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking that's what Jacob felt. He felt a deep, deep sorrow, heartbreak, like, let me just pack it in. But you know the story with his boy Joseph. He goes, he becomes second in command to Pharaoh, and God calls Jacob and his whole clan to move down to Egypt because they're going to save their lives during a famine, right? This is the end, 46, 1 through 4, Genesis 46. So Jacob set out for Egypt and with all his possessions, and when he came to Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. During the night, God spoke to him in a vision. Everybody say in a vision. There's a whole nother thing there. He spoke to him. Did it say in a dream? But when was it? What time of day? During the night, he spoke to him in a vision. Anyway, before he came to Jacob in a dream, where it initially started, the gateway thing. But now it's in a vision, but it's at night. The point is, God has multiple ways of speaking to us. This year, it's a year of more than enough. He's going to open up new ways of speaking to you that you've never seen before. You've never experienced before. Anyway, God spoke to him and said, Jacob, Jacob, he called. Here I am, Jacob replied. I am God, the God of your father, the voice said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make your family into a great nation. I will go with you down to Egypt. Now, how many know Egypt at this point is a scary place to go? Like, they don't want to go to Egypt. It represents spiritually the world. It represents darkness, paganism. It represents, like, don't go there, right? Like, it would be typically where God says not to go. But in this case, God came to him in the night and said, actually, go there. I'm going to be with you when you go. And so he has the confidence, and God says, I will bring you back again. You will die, Jacob, in Egypt, but Joseph will be with you to close your eyes. Joseph, my baby boy, Joseph, he's going to be with me there. Remember, he hadn't been reunited yet. What an incredible God we have. A God of restoration, A God of redemption. A God of rescue. A God of provision. He's going to save the whole clan. Through encounters, this was number five. God reminds you of his abiding presence. What did he say to Jacob? I will go with you. I will be with you, God says. I will never forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. Remember how God started this out? He had your life planned out before you were ever born. All your days are numbered. He has them ordered. God's always with you. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? Let's pray. I don't necessarily feel like we should take this long extended time of soaking per se. But perhaps the Lord will lead you into that this week on your own. But I do want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to just settle on us and to baptize us fresh and to lead us this week into fresh God encounters. Raise your hand if you're in. Who wants to sign up for God encounters? Okay, good. Now, remember, it could be as simple as a still small voice. It could be like Tracy's testimony where an angel appeared and she's transported in the spirit to a friend's living room in Raleigh. Okay, whatever the case is, take it out of the box. But God wants to bring us into fresh experiences with himself. Why? So these five things can become real in us. New territory, new promises, reminders, all of these things. Amen? So Lord, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to settle upon us now. Just sense that sweet, sweet presence.
Back to the beginning.